This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave, filling in for Terry Gross. Elvis opened for them. The Everly Brothers were inspired by their harmonies. The Byrds and Emmylou Harris recorded their songs. The Louvin Brothers are considered one of the great vocal harmony duos of country music. They were popular at the Grand Ole Opry and well represented on the country music charts from the late 50s until the mid-60s when the act broke up. Brother Ira was killed in a car accident soon after. Charlie Louvin has continued to record and to perform at the Opry. His latest CD, The Longest Train, features songs that he first recorded with his brother.
When I stop dreaming, that's when I'll stop loving you. The worst I've ever my life, the first time I ever wanted to die, was the night when you told me you loved someone else, and asked me if I could forget.
Charlie Louvin with harmonies by Barry and Holly Tashian. Terry Gross spoke with Louvin in 1996. She asked him if it was difficult to sing alone without his brother after his brother died.
I'd always believed that any song's worth singing is worth putting harmony on. And of course, I had grown used to that for the 23 years that my brother and I had worked together. And even today, 34 years after he's gone, when it comes time for the harmonies to come in, I will move to my left, because my brother and I always just used one microphone. And so you had to share the mic. And I will move over to the left to give the harmony room, knowing in my mind that there's no harmony standing on my right. But it's just old habits are hard to break.
The harmonies that you created with your brother, I think were based on the Sacred Harp singing that you used to do in church. Would you describe those kinds of harmonies that come out of Sacred Harp singing, or what's also known as shaped note singing?
I'm not sure, Terry, that I can describe them or explain them where they'd be understood. It's just something, I don't have any musical learning. What I know and what we did is came natural for us, because we was raised in a family that went to these sacred harp singings with regularity. There's things that I can't explain to it. They're doing five-part harmonies, and most people today thinks that four is the limit when a quartet sings, that they've got all the parts, but the sacred harp our shape note singing people used five harmonies, and some of them are extremely high with the ladies' parts, and none of them as low as the quartets practice today. It would be like a mid-range bass part.
How did you take the five-part harmonies that you were familiar with from church and adapt that to a two-voice style? What did you use from that? I guess what I'm really asking is, how did you work out your harmonies with your brother?
My brother adapted a harmony that that he thought sounded good, and it was always good enough for me. I remember once our A&R man asked my brother, he told him, he said, "That's not really tenor you're singing there on that song, is it?" And my brother said, "What, you don't like it?" And he said, "I didn't say I didn't like it. I just don't think it's, you know, like regular tenor." My brother said, "Well, I really don't know what it is. I just thought it sounded good, so I put it in there." And that's kind of the way that us being raised together, if it was obvious that the song was going to get too high for me to sing in a certain place, my brother just automatically take that high lead, and I would do the low harmony. We didn't have to step on each other's foot or wink or bump shoulders to do this. It was just something that you knew was going to happen in the song, and you'd go ahead and change to a part that you're capable of doing.
Your early recordings were gospel tunes. Many of them were originals. In fact, why don't we hear one of those originals that you co-wrote with your brother Ira? This was made in 1952, and the song is called "The Family Who Prays."
Broken shall stand. God will say through my good faithful servant, the family who prays never shall part.
Satan has parted fathers and mothers, hearts with his envy and hate, heading their pathway down to destruction, leaving their children like orphans to stray.
The family who prays will never be parted.
It's the Leuven Brothers from 1952. Chet Atkins featured on electric guitar?
Yes, Chet recorded our first Capitol record with us, and Chet is a big part of the Leuven Brothers sound, from The Family Who Prays right on through to the end of the Leuven Brothers career.
You were singing a lot of gospel songs early in your career, but I know your brother Ira had the reputation of being a heavy drinker and of having quite a temper. Did you share the same religious convictions? Did you live with the same kind of values, or was there a big, big difference there?
No, a lot of us know better, but we don't do better. He knew better. He is extremely well-versed on the good book as far as knowing what was right or wrong. He just wasn't able to conquer the devil, I guess, we didn't have any major problems with the drinking until, I'd say, not end of 1958. The Leuven Brothers records, the sales slowed down as all other country artists did in 1958 because the music was changing. And so our producer told my brother, "I believe that it's the mandolin that's keeping the Leuven Brothers records from selling," which had always been a featured part. My brother worked hard to become proficient on the mandolin. And when this producer, namely Ken Nelson, said this to my brother, and my brother feeling that Mr. Nelson was a close friend and a trusted friend, he believed him. And so he would never play his mandolin again on a recording. After that statement, if it would come up, somebody would say, "Oh, I think this would sound good with the mandolin." My brother would say, "No, let the piano do it or let the guitar do it. Anybody, but I'm not doing it." And it caused him to drink extremely heavy, and he went, between then and the time he passed away, went through three wives and just lots and lots of problems that he never could whip.
Did you start losing dates, too? Did he get a reputation for drinking a lot?
Unfortunately, Terry, if you're half of a duet, one person in that duet don't ever get a bad name. It's just the Leuven Brothers did this.
Mm-hmm.
The Leuven Brothers did that. Anything he did, good, bad, or indifferent, I was in the minds of the promoters and the radio stations and what have you, I was as guilty as he. And no way that I could change that. The only way I could change it would be for us not to be together. And that finally happened in August 18th, 1963. I just, we had gone from a pretty good career from early the 50s. The song, "The Family Who Prays," right on up through our recordings, we had done quite well. And we find ourselves in 1963 on the bottom of the totem pole, playing very few dates. And because promoters, the men who spend the money for the TV ads and the radio ads and the newspaper and rent the building and all this, they don't buy problems. With everything running as smooth as possible, they'll still have enough problems to drive them halfway batty. But if they know that any particular group is more apt to cause them problems than they are to be straight that day, then they just won't buy them. And that's what happened to the Leuven brothers' career.
My guest is Charlie Leuven. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Charlie Leuven, his new CD, The Longest Train, features solo versions of songs he first recorded with his brother Ira when they performed as the Leuven brothers. I want to play another original gospel song that you recorded called I Like the Christian Life. This is really a beautiful song. Graham Parsons loved this song and used it on the Byrds album Sweetheart of the Rodeo. Do you remember writing this?
No, I don't. Things went and come in the Leuven brother career. Sometimes my brother would be a totally good man. He could have been a preacher if he wanted to. He was that knowledgeable of the good book, and he had the gift. But my brother was the gifted songwriter. I came up with the ideas. If I could give him a title and a few words of the story, he could write it in 5 minutes. So this is the way we worked. I don't specifically remember the day that that song was wrote, but I remember that my brother was attempting with all of his might to live a Christian life. So at that time, and the statement was made, I like the Christian life. He thought that might make a song, so what you're about to play is what he got just from that title.
Let's hear it. And this is from Charlie Leuven's new album called The Longest Train.
My buddies tell me that I should have waited. They say I'm missing a whole world of fun. But I am happy and I sing with pride. I like the Christian life. I won't lose a friend by heeding God's call. What is a friend who'd want you to fall? Others find pleasure in things I despise. I like the Christian life.
That's Charlie Leuven from his new album, The Longest Train. Did friends ever mock you for trying to live the Christian life?
No, but I wouldn't say they mocked. When you're not living the Christian life, you have one set of friends. And if you're going to profess to live a Christian life, it's obvious that you're going to have to change friends. You're going to have to change a lot of habits, old habits being hard to break. Sometimes it can't be done. So if you prefer to hang around with your old friends, there's a good chance that you'll drift right back into doing exactly what you are trying to get out of doing.
What was your reaction when you heard I Like the Christian Life performed by the Byrds?
Well, I liked it. It was different. It was lazier. It didn't have the fire in it that the Leuven brothers had in their arrangement. But I enjoyed it. Graham Parsons also recorded The Cash on the Barrelhead. And the biggest favor that that Graham Parsons ever did for the Leuven brothers is when he introduced Emmylou Harris to the Leuven brothers' sound. And he played this song for, I don't know exactly which song it was, but her remark was, "Who is that girl singing the high part?" And Graham said, "That's not a girl, that's Ira Leuven." And so Emmylou did a big favor for the Leuven brothers' music catalog. I guess it's about 500 songs in all, and she recorded five or six of them, which I appreciate. I know Ari would have, too.
In fact, I think one of the songs she recorded was If I Could Only Win Your Love.
That was her kickoff song for her career. And I guess she thought a Louvin Brothers song was a good luck charm for her, so she recorded Every Time You Leave, When I Stop Dreaming, and a couple of the gospel songs.
Why don't we hear the Louvin Brothers' 1958 recording of If I Could Only Win Your Love?
If I could only win your love, I'd make the most of everything. I'd proudly wear your wedding ring. My heart would never stray one dream away. If I could only win your love, I'd give my all to make it live. You'll never know how much I'd give if I could only win your love. Oh, how can I ever say how I crave your love when you're gone? Oh, how can I ever show how I burn inside when you hold me tight? If I could only win your love.
That's the Louvin Brothers, recorded in 1958. And that recording is featured on an anthology called The Louvin Brothers, When I Stopped Dreaming, that was issued by Razor and Tie. You can hear a little bit of early rock and roll influence on there in the instrumentation.
On which is that?
If I Could Only Win Your Love.
Well, that was 1958.
Right.
You know what the influence was then?
Oh, well, you can hear it on the piano.
Oh, you're not
a
old
bit.
Enough. You're not
oh,
old
yes,
enough
I am.
To remember Elvis, are you?
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all.
No, but we worked a lot of dates on the road with Elvis. Elvis Presley.
How did you feel about the sexuality in his performances?
Oh, it didn't bother me. My brother worked out a perfect impersonation of Elvis. Elvis is the only man that I'd ever seen that could wear his clothes out from the inside instead of the outside, you know. So it was kind of funny when it was happening. I like many other people, I thought it was a fad. It was just a fad that people are going through, because I'd seen fads before come and go. And then I visited Elvis's mother, my wife and I did, in Memphis, and I seen ladies as old as my mother and some older on their knees reaching under Elvis Presley's fence just to pull blades of grass so they could take it home and say it came out of Elvis's yard. Then I knew it wasn't a fad.
You and your brother broke up the Louvin Brothers and went your separate ways in 1963, and it was, I think, just about a year later that your brother and his wife were killed in a head-on road collision, and I think it was the driver in the other car that was drinking and that was responsible for the crash. Is that right?
Yes, that's true. It happened in Missouri, halfway mark between Kansas City and St. Louis. My brother was coming home from an engagement that they had been on in Kansas City. And the other two people was going from St. Louis to Kansas City to celebrate Father's Day. They just started celebrating it too early, that's all. They didn't wait till they got out of that car.
How did it change your life when your brother was killed?
Well, I had already become a solo artist, so to speak, Terry, and I had released, or kept the record people had released, I Don't Love You Anymore, which went to the number one spot. And I believe the second song was Think I'll Go Somewhere to Cry Myself to Sleep. It was doing good at the time, and my brother kind of felt that somebody had done him wrong, but I hadn't. Music is the only thing I knew, and so naturally I would try to stay in the business, and because he had sworn to me that he was getting out of the business. However, he was making attempts to get back in the business. Had a couple of records released for Capitol Records. Neither one of them had done anything, but I'm sure that if he would have been given time, he'd have figured out what the public wanted, and that's what he would have gave them.
You still performing with the Opry?
Yes, ma'am.
How long has it been?
I'm almost finished with my 42nd year.
Well,
in February next will be my 42nd anniversary, and I'll start into my 43rd year with the Opry, and I'm really hoping that it'll work into something regular here soon.
Yeah, right.
Charlie Louvin from a 1996 interview with Terry Gross. Charlie Louvin is performing tonight at the Grand Ole Opry. Next month, he starts his 44th year there.